This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're off. Evening edition on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, I'm Ezra Zayed.
And I'm Umar Fagan, I'm PK Fagan.
And on this month's segment of Magazine Watch, we speak to the editor of Expatriate Lifestyle as well as the editor of Esquire Malaysia about their April feature stories. For Expatriate Lifestyle, it's Captains of Industry. But first up, we speak up to Sam Coleman, editor of Esquire Malaysia. It's the strength issue.
It's the strength issue.
Sam, welcome to the show.
It's great. Thanks. Every once in a while, we get to shoot the breeze with Sam.
Well, the last time we lost some airtime. Remember,
the last time Sam was on, we lost half an hour of the show and had to redo it again.
It was censored. We had dangerous conversations happening. It's fine.
Now, Sam, before we get started on talking about Esquire's April issue, just want to touch very briefly on
on
the March issue. We understand that it got a bit of heat one particular spread in the magazine. You want to tell listeners and elaborate on what happened exactly?
Yeah, we had Diana Danielle, and she is a lovely person. I mean, I really just was like, what a great, nice woman mm-hmm. she is. She's got a baby. We talked about, you know, our kids and all that. And we did a photo shoot with her. And, of course, she's got an American father, so we had an American flag. And, you know, of course, we're Esquire. We believe in kind of soft erotica.
Mm-hmm.
We do. I know that sounds crazy, but, you know, it's like you can get anything on your phone. So this is kind of
That's
more.
True.
This is a bit more interesting, and it's yet still
tasteful.
Tasteful. So, you know, we had her shot in a bra, and, you know, we had her kind of doing some classic 1940s pinup girl stuff, you know, the legs in the air, and it's all kind of post-ironic stuff. But she did look great. And she got a lot of feedback on that, negative feedback, of course.
Oh, dear.
People saying, but, you know, not only did she get the feedback, her husband got the feedback.
Mm.
How could you let your wife do this? And
right.
And it was pretty nasty. And she suffered. I don't want to go too much into how she suffered, but some of her client contacts were a bit nervous having her at events and things like that. But you know what? Power to her. She said, look, this is my business, my choice, and you're just going to have to get over it.
Wow. But I guess for a magazine like Esquire, you know, when you have these, you know, editions that are exclusive to a particular country, Esquire Malaysia, Esquire Singapore, it's interesting because I imagine the principal of Esquire, you know, magazine says like, wow, really? You guys are getting heat for that? I mean, it must
be. Well, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Cameron Diaz done by Terry Richardson, need I say more.
Mm.
So, you know, latex and bending over the whole bit. So we think we're pretty, you know, nice to women.
Yeah.
And we are. I mean, we're not always just trying to make it an NFHM wannabe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do pick women who are actually really interesting. We're going to have Farida Marikon. We've had lots of people who are not just sex symbols per se. But when we do have somebody who's beautiful and talented and all that, you know, hey, let's do something interesting, right?
So tell us about the strength issue. What is strength, Sam Coleman?
Well, what is strength? You ask me. You know, we always come up with these crazy kind of ideas. We kind of invented that in the Malaysian market, which was fun. And it really helps us kind of go off-piste a little bit, but also keep on track, if that makes any sense. So we thought, hey, let's have a strength issue. And let's think about not just, you know, athletics and working out and all that,
mm-hmm.
even though we are very jealous of men's health and women's health, by the way. They had 7,500 runners at their Putrajaya night run. But we thought, hey, let's think about things like inner strength.
Right.
So we have an article about, you know, how would you be tested if you were in a situation where this is kind of ludicrous and ridiculous, but how would you react? And there's a weak, medium, and strong reaction, inner strength. But what was really interesting about it, what spawned it, was how our fashion, luxury fashion clients, are all moving to the sportswear space. Every single Dior, you know, LV, Lavon, Todd's, Bally, all have sports shoes
right.
in their collections. And you think like, huh, what's that about? And when I would go to the Paris and London and Milan, I would see these guys wearing sneakers and trainers, and I'd be like, is that right? You know, and I'd get self-conscious and think I should do that too.
Wow.
But it's true. So it's become a thing. And people like Jeremy Scott, who kind of, you know, disrupted in that space when he was with Adidas and now he's with Moschino. So it actually has a connection to our style. So we thought, hey, let's do a bunch of different things.
So strong is the new thin.
Yeah. Well, then we, yeah, there you go. And we have a
No, article. Which is great. Because,
yeah, exactly.
Because next month, you know, I'm wearing a bra and a Malaysian flag. Right? Because if strong's the new thing, I mean, that's where we're going.
I'll be the first one to troll you.
Yeah. The magazine,
Uma, how dare your husband let you do this?
you know, magazine will get into all sorts of troubles when they go through with that. Is it Sean Penn is on
Sean
the cover?
Sean Penn's on the cover. I have to say, over the last year or so, your covers have been rather exceptional. And I think this cover as well, I mean, because you make it a point to distinguish yourself from the American cover.
Yes.
And the UK cover. And I think the design's been very, very eye-catching and stuff. It's not just pen, center frame.
No, exactly. You know, and trying to rip off the... I mean, the great thing is we work... I mean, that goes to Rebecca Chu, who is an absolute genius. The worst, I've said it before, I'll say it again, the worst employee God ever made. Please never hire her. but she is a creative genius. And if you let her run feral... she brings back the goods. She's unbelievable. She got the Asian cover of the year. She's been ranked on Cover Junkie as one of the 10 best covers, along with Time and Wired and Newsweek. This woman does world-class work.
Yeah.
So she's the one who kind of takes this and says, it's not good enough. I don't like this. I don't like that. Let's do this. Let's try that. And yet we do work with our UK and US partners. So, for instance, that is a UK shoot exclusive to Esquire because it would be almost impossible for us to have that level of celebrity on the cover every month. I mean, they just won't do it. I called him up. I say, hey, Sean, I'm going to put you on the cover, bro. What do you think? He's like, who are you? You are nothing to me. In fact, this conversation isn't even worth it.
What sports shoes are you wearing, Sam Coleman? He's asking you with that.
He is. I'm like, well, I'll tell you which ones to wear, my friend. The Stan Smith.
No, you've spoken to some interesting people as well. Local people. I mean, Sean Penn's at the cover, but you spoke to Ras Ali Baraji.
Yes.
Yeah, as part of the strength thing.
Yeah, and she's amazing.
She is.
See, that's where the theme really helps you. The woman took her wheelchair from Johor to KL. That's incredible.
Oh, that's crazy.
And you know, her attitude, and I just think...
I can barely walk up the stairs most days.
Blame it on the haze. So it really worked out well. And we had Sporna Sexual, which is Max Olesker, which is one of the UK contributors, worked with a personal trainer, and he's riffing on this idea that Mark Simpson, the guy who came up with Metrosexual in 1994 in The Independent, came forward and said the new thing is spornosexuality. Well, what's a spornosexual? Well, it's a cross between sports and porn, right?
Okay.
So what the new, it's not being Arnold Schwarzenegger, no. It's being thin, it's getting your six-pack, it's being kind of lean. And being looked at.
Spornosexual.
Spornosexual.
Right.
But look at the picture.
Ladies and gents, you've learned a new word.
You've learned a new word.
Yeah, spornosexuals. Are you one?
But we have a kind of before and after. I don't know which page, but open it up. And this guy, it's like, you know, crappy looking, kind of a little bit fat, not too bad. And then 3 months later, no, I think it's back.
All right.
And you go...
Oh, there we go.
No. Oh, that's not even a good one.
Well, for, you know, an audio program, this is entirely helpful, gentlemen.
Yes. Okay, so I've got...
Well, you got to buy the magazine.
I've got a picture of this fellow in front of me. He's not really crappy looking, Sam.
Well, he's average. He's like all of us.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's the point.
Right.
And then, and yet, 3 months later, look, this guy's completely ripped.
He's like a beast.
We're going to be continuing our conversation about spornosexual and strength right after these messages. In the studio with us is Sam Coleman, editor of Esquire Malaysia. It's BFM 89.9. Our friends Red Hot Chili Peppers with Give It Away right here on the Evening Edition. You're with Uma and Ezra. In the studio with us is Sam Coleman, the editor of Esquire Malaysia. We're speaking about their April issues about strength. There's also a segment about, I mean, earlier we were speaking about spornosexuals, but there's also this other thing called the rise of the female jocks.
Yeah, that was one that was kind of initiated by Eugene, and I was like, oh, okay, is there a female jock culture thing going on here? And there is. What's the woman's name?
So there are a few of them.
She
in the
actually
magazine.
Was. She has dengue right now.
There's Kimberly Chai.
Nope.
There's Nini Ahmad.
It's in the very beginning.
And there's Lenora Lau.
Yeah, and they look great. The photo shoot is really cool. But there was a woman, there's a bodybuilder, a female bodybuilder. Hold on a second. No. Okay. And her name is Nini
Ahmad?
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, she got dengue 2 days before the photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
But you actually have quite a strong tradition of female bodybuilders and body sculptors.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it's actually pretty healthy looking, as you can see.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and they just look beautiful. This is kind of very Greek-esque.
But this, I guess, comes into this whole thing about people being fit and healthy. I mean, being fit and healthy
as opposed to, you know, just being thin and scrawny, right?
Yeah. It's an in thing now.
The counterintuitive on this, now you're really hitting it. The disruption of our own kind of normal thing. Everybody's like, oh, you know, you're just into fashion. It's very, almost a little bit, you know, kind of for the pink crowd and all that. Mm-hmm. So we kind of thought, hey, let's go against that grain and go really athletic and sporty and all this stuff and still keep our traditional audience with like the trainer special and things like that. So it really was fun. It was really, really fun.
So just very quickly, talk to us about, I mean, when you were saying earlier about your fashion, I guess all your fashion partners going the way of sportiness.
Yeah.
Right? Now, are they going the way of fashion sportiness or are they going the way of functional sportiness?
Well, funny you say that. And that wasn't a setup, by the way. There is, we've broken that down into the functional tennis shoes like Ignite and things like that and the ones that are really fashion. So they're special edition Chris Von Ash with, you know, and there's a big difference. I don't know how functional, to be honest, I don't know how functional those LV trainers are.
Right. So
I don't think that's what it's about.
there are some can wear to a three-star Michelin restaurant get away with.
I think that's exactly the idea.
Okay, pretty much. Now, you've got a segment in the magazine called Lord, Give Me Strength.
Yeah, we thought that was pretty fun.
And it's this little game.
Right.
That you can play with yourself.
Yeah, I love playing games with myself. So, you set that one up. So, there's some just some different categories. We thought it'd be fun to kind of have, you know, what would you do if you were weak strength and if you had medium strength? So,
let me give you some examples.
Let's do that.
Sure. Pretty good. Hmm. The temptation of the hot sister-in-law.
Oh, God.
that one again.
That's the first on the list, mind you.
Oh, right.
It was cute when she simply had a crush on you when you first dated the woman who would be your future wife. But now she's all grown up and a lingerie model, no less. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Who wants to hang out? Maybe with a girlfriend in tow while wifey is on a business trip. The alarm bells are ringing, or maybe it's just harmless. What do you do, Ezra Zayed? What do you do? Now.
Okay, go on.
If you were weak, you would start drinking with the plausible deniability that you didn't really know what happened. If you were of medium strength, you would get a wingman involved, possibly your wife's best friend's husband, to share the guilt.
Two to three degrees of separation.
Or Uma.
And if you were strong, you would find your inner strength and decline the offer by declaring you'll be Skyping with the wifey later. Thank the powers that be for inventing porn. Disaster averted.
Now that you have the porn aspect to it, then we'll have to go for strength option.
But also
the combination of, you know, denying, you know, you know, any sort of plausibility to that issue. Yeah, that's also helpful as well.
It's really helpful.
Yeah, they've got great topics. So modern lost family, about a girl getting lost in a mall. You've got the sexting option, a mysterious stranger maybe. Last meal, money potted, Armstrong it, and man at his best, which is very, very good.
Well, I mean, this is just good family fun, isn't it?
If we're nothing...
Grandma, come on over. Sit down. Let's play a game.
We're nothing if not wholesome on the evening edition, I have to say.
Now, Sam, before we wrap up, what can we look forward to next month's issue of Esquire? But can you tell anything? Or can you share with us?
Next month? Yeah, I guess we should start thinking about that.
he's not even joking.
No, he's working on it. He's working on it.
What are we doing next month? We are doing...
something fun, something engaging.
Brain freeze. Right. You're just going to have to wait for it. Well, I can't remember.
All we can ask for you to is just basically pick up this month's copy.
Yeah, I'm still in the moment. Yeah, you know, let me enjoy the moment now.
Yeah, pick up this copy of Esquire Malaysia. It's good.
Future of issue. Sorry, God, what am I thinking? The brain freeze just went away.
Yes.
We're doing a future of issue, and it's going to be awesome. Real deal. Future of sex, future of money, future of...
Very nice.
YOLOs, which are young longer. So there's all kinds of cool things. We've been getting a lot of Malaysian experts involved. And it's really fun.
That's exciting. The future is always exciting.
Futures are exciting. Because it's not now. That's what makes it so cool.
Very, very cool. Yeah, no, this month's Esquire has got some great stories and some great photography as well. So you should definitely check it out. I'm going to check out... I'm going to check out... March's issue with Dan and Danielle.
All right.
And thanks, guys, for having this segment. We love it. You know, magazines are still relevant, and we are a good team, the radio people and the magazine people.
We get together every once in a while.
We did that sound project. That was really
cool.
That's
true, yeah.
Yeah. We show that it can be done.
Sam Coleman, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Pick up the editor. Sorry, not pick up the editor. But
if you're really strong like Annie, you pick me up, huh?
Pick up a copy of Esquire Malaysia this month. It's the strength issue. We've got some more music for you. Ho Hey by the Lumineers right here on BFM 89.9. That was, of course, Jack Johnson with Sitting, Waiting, Wishing right here on the Evening Edition. You're with Uma and Ezra. We're continuing Magazine Watch. Earlier, we spoke to Sam Coleman, editor of Esquire Malaysia. He's gone out the studio doors. And in the studio right now is Ian Johnston, editor of Expatriate Lifestyle. Ian, welcome to the show.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome back.
So, of course, last month you were in, we were speaking about leading ladies, where we had a look at all the sort of high commissioners and ambassadors that are based here in Malaysia. And this month you're focusing on captains of industry. Yeah, tell us a bit about that.
I assure you it was never our intention when we set out to do a women's issue for March, and then our April issue features only men. That wasn't the intention, but it is how it's worked out when we found our captains of industry. So what we'd set out to do was find expatriates in Malaysia who are in the CEO, MD, president posts, really high up in some big organizations across a number of different industries, and find out basically what it takes to get to the top.
I wonder if it's a case where, I mean, I don't know, I mean, if we were to turn the clock back maybe 10, 15 years ago, were there more captains of industry that were expatriates rather than now, or has that changed or stagnated to some degree?
I take it Malaysia is not really a hardship posting, right?
Well, when we talk about some of the postings in Africa compared to Malaysia, yeah, it's a pretty nice place to be. But I think it's interesting to look at how that's changed. A lot of the companies still do have expatriates at the mm-hmm. top. So it's not like there's been a complete shift to Malaysians at the top of these big companies. But I think that's the whole idea, right? That foreign talent comes in, that helps these companies establish foreign talent that understands these international companies, kind of helps them get set up in Malaysia. And then the idea is that Malaysian staff can take over. So that is happening. That's the goal, I guess.
But there are some companies who are comfortable retaining a specific type of talent, irrespective of the geography or the location, right?
Well, exactly. You look at the CEOs and the MDs that we've got in this issue, and the one thing that stands out is just the kind of international experience they've got.
Right.
Look at every single one. They've they've worked in four or five different countries around the world. That's kind of invaluable in these positions, to understand those cultures, to understand how different people think and how different markets work.
And I think that's quite interesting, because what we're seeing now over at least the last 5 to 10 years is Malaysians actually going out and being CEOs in those different countries. So it's going to be a while before we get enough of that experience and come back home again to come full circle, right?
Yeah, but that's what these organizations like Talent Corps are hoping to bring back, right? So this Malaysian talent has gone out, has developed this experience, has kind of learned how to deal with different markets, and then can come back and run these companies. So hopefully that's something we see later on. Yeah.
Right, so who have we got in the magazine?
So we tried to find different industries, different sectors. The first thing I have to say that we found out is that these CEOs are quite busy people. So when you try and get them together for photo shoots, or you try and get them
for
deadlines,
in my office?
Yeah. You lose some hair. But who we've got? We've got Tesco Malaysia. So the German Georg Fischer, who's CEO of Tesco Malaysia. We have Standard Chartered, Saif Malik, who is MD of one of the sections in Standard Chartered. And we have Michael Constantine from McCann World Group. So really three different industries, three different people with very different backgrounds.
No women.
Well, they were featured last month, Ezra, in the March issue. So,
probably, again, like we talked about last month, the majority of the ambassadors and high commissions are still males here. Mm-hmm. It's the same with the captains of industry. Most of them are male. We did have a couple females on our shortlist. Unfortunately, just it didn't quite work out with timing. They happen to be in other countries and various places around the world.
And so what can sort of readers sort of discover in terms of trends about these captains of industry? I mean, you mentioned that, you know, that invaluable experience of working in different countries. Are these usually people, sort of young go-getters, or are these people that sort of travel the world and are just sort of settling in to guide the ship, so to speak?
I think they're a bit younger than we expected. Mm-hmm. You look at, it's not kind of the 50 and above, it's
right,
kind of late 30s, early 40s. So yeah, these dynamic people that have built up the experience but still, I guess, have that energy to drive companies on. Another thing that I think we learned was how important these teams are. So it's not just one person leading the company, obviously. They've got teams around them. But then the important thing is not just having a team, it's managing that team. So you learn how important people skills are and developing that team, understanding different people and how to get the best out of them.
what kind of, I guess, was there a certain narrative that you were looking for when you were putting these three individuals together? I mean, did you have an idea of a story you wanted to tell, or were you expecting a completely different experience from each individual?
When we set out, we wanted to show the different kind of industries that traditionally employ a lot of expatriates. So you look at the oil and gas sectors, you look right. at some of these big things. Oil and gas is an interesting sector at the moment. Obviously, with oil prices low, that's an interesting topic at the moment. But that's kind of what we looked at, was these industries employing a lot of expatriates, and just whether that's changing, whether the individuals leading companies are the same as they were 10, 15 years ago. And I think, as Ezra pointed out, it's that age thing is maybe one thing that is changing. People are coming in a bit younger, and organizations are realizing that there's benefit to have a slightly younger individual.
And so I'm curious, though, when it comes to actually this age gap, if you will, there was a certain generation of expatriates that, well, didn't necessarily go native and didn't necessarily integrate as well into chaos society. Are you finding that the younger kids and the younger CEOs are more comfortable doing that these days?
Well, it's good that you bring that up, because Michael Constantine from McCann World Group, that's one thing he really said, that he hates this kind of term expat, because it labels these people as someone that's come to a different country and then separates themselves from everyone else. He said that's just not like him. And to really understand his staff, he can't just be separate from the local population. You've got to kind of live that Malaysian life. And to really understand a city and its people, you've got to kind of get it integrated. You know, I'm not sure if that's the right word, but really kind of become a local.
We're going to be continuing our conversation with the editor of Expatriate Lifestyle. The April 2015 issue is out. We'll be right back after this with Ian Johnson right here on BFM 89.9.
Hey!
Our Deal by Best Coast right here on the Evening Edition. You're with Uma and Ezra. We're continuing our conversation with Ian Johnston, editor of Expatriate Lifestyle. The April 2015 issue is out regarding captains of industry. Tell us what else is in the issue.
Loads.
Ah.
Fortunately, a few of the interesting stories. One of the education sections, always very popular. Mm-hmm. This month, I don't know if you know, it's the 50th anniversary of the International School of Kuala Lumpur.
Wow.
So ISKL's been around 50 years.
50 years. So big celebrations, lots of alumni coming back to KL. Looking forward to seeing how the city and school has changed. For our health feature, we're looking at sports activities for young kids. So you've got kind of 4, 5, 6 year olds, getting them involved in jiu-jitsu, in martial arts, in football, in gymnastics and things like that. And then first, my favorite is our food feature this month, which is looking at chocolate desserts from around the Klang Valley.
Oh, chocolate desserts. I mean, we can start with the football and the jiu-jitsu stuff, but let's go straight to the chocolate desserts. What's going on there, Ian?
Well, what we wanted to do was find some kind of interesting concoctions and interesting desserts from around the Klang Valley. So we've got everything from kind of chocolate bacon to these indulgent chocolate treats and things like that. So yeah, the chocolate bacon's an acquired taste, but an interesting one. So we've got some nice photo spreads with these in.
And all of this is locally made. I mean, it's just local creative food entrepreneurs, or is it?
And is it just another sort of buzz about, you know, we have the coffee thing, or we still have the coffee thing?
Yeah, chocolate bacon's the next big thing.
Yeah. Yeah, you heard it first right here.
No, it's a mix of kind of independent cafes and then some of the bigger chocolatiers, the international chocolatiers. But right. it's all things that you can find in the Klang Valley.
Yeah. Fantastic. There's also a spread on Keke.
There is. What we're doing with our travel stories this month is, obviously, we're an expatriate magazine, so we like to kind of reach out to some of the expatriates in interesting places around Malaysia. So we get one expatriate to be a tour guide for the month. So this month we've got a lady that's based in Kota Kinabalu, who's picking her kind of top 5 or 6 things to do in KK. So
apart from climbing the mountain, I imagine.
Yeah, we skipped that one this time. But it's everything from kind of interesting restaurants that you'd never normally visit to island hopping.
Yeah. No, it's really cool. I didn't know about the North Borneo Railway.
It's kind of taking you back in time. So this railway's kind of stood still. Interesting thing to do down in KK.
Very, very cool. Yeah, it's a big, long feature, by the way.
Okay.
I mean, there's lots to do in KK. I've only been once myself, and I think I was 26 by the time I went to KK.
That was to climb the mountain,
time.
Was it?
No, Ezra climbed the mountain. I haven't venture anywhere near it.
Yeah, climbing the mountain is fun. I think the payoff is actually just telling folks, I've climbed the mountain. I mean, that's the real payoff, really.
And he did it with absolutely no training beforehand. He just walked up and went, right, where's this mountain?
Where's this mountain? Let's do this. Also, what else is in store in the next few weeks, in the next coming month or so?
Well, the one that's giving us a headache at the moment, but it's going to be a very interesting event, is the EL Charity Golf Open. So this is an annual event. Right. This is the sixth year we've been doing it. It's a charity golf event for amateur expatriate golfers.
Wow.
So if you think you're handy with a set of clubs, come on down to Kota Permai Golf and Country Club on May the 22nd, and you can see if you're the best amateur expatriate golfer in Malaysia.
Wait, so what do you have to do? Do you have to sign up beforehand? Can you just show up?
No, actually, you can't. You do have to sign up. If you go onto expatriatelifestyle.com, you'll see all the details there. So you can sign up for either yourself or for a flight of four, and come on down on the day. It's a great fun charity angle. So we've got three local charities that we're supporting. Good game of golf at Kota Permai, and then a few drinks in the evening with a charity auction, which is always good fun.
And you always want to bring with you a bag of secondhand balls, because, you know, as talented as amateur golfers are, a few do stray away into the lake, into sort of the rough
sand
edges of the golf course.
Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm. All right, terrific stuff. Ian, we look forward to seeing you next month.
Thank you very much.
And, of course, don't forget to pick up the April issue of Expatriate Lifestyle. I've been speaking to Ian Johnson, editor of Expatriate Lifestyle. Some music for you, Angeles by Elliot Smith. And don't forget, after 7 o'clock news, it's Life's a Pitch with Ross Youssef. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.